In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1, New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
WFAN Sports Flash.
And this report brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. Week 12 in the NFL begins tonight in Cleveland. You've got the 2-8 Browns taking on the first-place Steelers. Pittsburgh with the big win over Baltimore last week. Now an 8-2 football team will have it for you on the Fan. Sunday on the Fan will be the Giants and the Buccaneers. Todd Bowles was asked his thoughts of Tommy DeVito as Bowles met the media on Wednesday.
He's very good in the pocket as far as escaping blitzes and pressures. He can run around. He can throw the deep ball. He's very good seeing the short stuff come and seeing blitzes come, and he's very good getting out of harm's way. So he's going to be something to deal with.
Bowles would not commit to it, but it certainly sounds like Mike Evans will return for this game on Sunday. The Knicks beat the Suns 138-122, 36 for Jalen Brunson as the Knicks open up the road trip with a win. It's their fourth straight on the season, now 9-6 on the year. College basketball, Rutgers beat Merrimack on the Fan last night. This evening, you've got St. John's playing number 13 Baylor, first round of the Bahamar Hoops Bahamas Championship. Women's college basketball, UConn beat FDU by a lot. Gina Auriemma became college basketball all-time wins leader with 1,217. NHL tonight, Rangers in Calgary, the Islanders in Detroit, the Devils face the Hurricanes. Show amongst a show. This report brought to you by Moderna and also brought to you by BMW. This holiday season, BMW invites you to visit the Road Home Sales event now through December 2nd. Visit tristatebmw.com for details. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. It's 56 in Central Park, and that's what's happening. I'm Jerry Recco on Sports Radio 101.9 FM, The Fan.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
BT, it's out back on the Fan. We'll continue with your Giants calls. 888-808-1019. Making sports fun again. BT, talking about fun. Hey, we're going to have a lot of fun with the Knicks here. Who knows how it's going to end up? I'd be curious to see where you're at now, but the Knicks with another dominating performance last night. We won over the course of those five games, starting with the win in Philadelphia. Like, we needed to see 4-1 minimum. Well, we got that. I was able to beat the Sixers, take care of the Nets twice after that brutal loss against the Bulls at home. But the Knicks last night, with an again, no Durant. Okay, fine, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You look at what they're doing as a team. They got scoring all over the floor. They are starting now to come together. Four straight wins. Current road trip, they'll have Utah coming up next on Saturday, but the Knicks starting to gel a little bit.
They are, and, you know, listen, I could easily lead with Karl-Anthony Towns, who's had, what, 36 games of 30 or more. Brunson filled it up last night. To me, what's most interesting is now the defining of the bench slowly. Now, they're still missing pieces, as we know. Abduce has been banged up. Mitchell Robinson is going to be gone for a while. Campaign's starting to fit in nicely, and we talked about that. The night that they came back from 19 points down, and lost, obviously, but that was the foul on Josh Hart against Chicago. Yep. Kobe White, the three-pointer. But there was an energy in the building that made it kind of feel like the Knicks for the first time since, like, that feeling that I had from last year. Not that I needed it on opening night. Like, I didn't overreact to getting waxed by the Celtics, who got their rings that night, or the Knicks, whose bench is very thin, or the Knicks who, you know, have several new pieces that are trying to gain chemistry. I always understood it was going to take time, and it's starting to look better and more polished and more cohesive. I still worry about the defense, though. Yeah. I do. I definitely still worry about the defense.
And look, they're going to be graded on a much more difficult scale because they're built not to get to an Eastern Conference final. They're built to win an NBA title. Like, that's going to be the goal. Beat Boston. Now, Boston's better than they are, so they're going to have a lot to prove here. And by the way, they have to get to Boston, potentially, in the Eastern Conference. Like, there's a long way to go. We have to see where the seeding is at and all those things that you mentioned. But I do think the one thing we should eliminate, because there were two narratives coming into the year.
Okay.
One, well, I mean, maybe more than that, but just the two that everybody was focused on. One, the lack of chemistry, which is going to take some time, but you're still starting to see that. The other was the lack of depth. I do not think this team lacks depth. campaign is a major piece off the bench. When Achiuwa gets healthy, that will help. Jericho Sims has been giving them solid minutes. Like, do I love him? No, but he's giving them okay minutes off the bench. So remember, you're going to have Payne, and by the way, Deuce is banged up, but you have campaign, Deuce McBride, ideally Achiuwa, Mitchell Robinson, and then Jericho Sims. Like, what more do you want? They have, even if you eliminate Sims from that equation, you still have four guys, not to mention Kolek. I mean, I don't like Matt Ryan myself, but if you needed a guy to hit some threes, whatever it may be, they have more depth than we were giving them credit for to start the year because of the emergence of campaign.
Well, they've got more bodies than maybe it felt early when there was heavy minutes, 38, 39 minutes a night. And they'll have more viable options as the season goes on. I still don't know that the bench will be an ultimate strength. Now, listen, it very well might be. There's a scenario, and this is actually very, very, very probable. Once, if Mitch is back and healthy, you see Mitchell Robinson possibly starting. You could see this. Karl Anthony Towns at the four, and then you have Josh Hart coming off the bench with Deuce and with campaign.
Which really...
And you're wreaking some havoc out there. No, that's something that is very, or potentially very special and potentially very hard to combat from an opponent's perspective.
The thing that I love about this, and again, I'm not going to get caught up on the win-loss record, just like I wasn't when the Knicks were losing some of these games early on. I'm not going to go nuts about them being 9-6, whatever it may be. I'm going nuts about the way that these five fit right now and can score. Like, Anunoby, not that he's an afterthought because he's a great glue guy, but he's not asked to do a lot offensively. Same thing with Bridges, where he's not asked to do a lot of offensively. He doesn't have to be because of Towns and Brunson. And by the way, if Brunson has an off night, okay, then maybe you get a little more from Bridges. Towns has been an absolute beast, but Josh Hart could score if need be. Any of those starting five at any point in the game can score the basketball. Different ways, sure.
Yep.
But look at those scoring options. Like, you're talking about five deep from the starters, BT. That is something I have never seen from a New York Knicks team in my entire life.
Okay, but now think about what I'm focusing on. And you're not wrong. That's why I'm kind of moving on to the other thing. The offense is humming. It's going to hum all year, barring health. And it's going to be a very tough matchup to stop. Defense.
Yeah, well.
Defense is what's going to win them a championship if they can.
Don't you trust, though, the perimeter defense of Anunoby and Bridges?
I do, but I don't trust the perimeter defense of Jalen Brunson. Like, Jalen Brunson's just not a good defender. Right, and we knew that. That's not exactly breaking news. But
Understood.
And without Mitch Robinson protecting that. Well, that's why I say that.
The key to their defense might, in fact, just be getting Robinson back. Like, obviously, he's not an offensive player, but the whole thing. Now, you don't want to rely on that because he's always hurt, to your point. But the whole thing was built with the idea that Mitch was going to be the center, the rim protector, all that stuff. He'll protect on the inside, and you have Bridges and Anunoby to protect the perimeter.
That's ideal. But there's a reason why, and again, I'm not going to bring him into it because I really miss him. You know, but I moved on from him. But that's where Hartenstein, forget about DiVincenzo.
He played his first game last night,
He played very well. Okay. I would say 14 rebounds, 13 points,
he's been
limited
out all
minutes.
Year. I didn't even know that.
Is this a broken hand or a fractured bone? He had like 14 rebounds right out of the shoot. He's just that player. And because Brunson is, although to your point, they've got wings that can kind of cover this up a little bit. But without Mitchell Robinson and without Hartenstein, you know, once you get past Brunson, you got problems in the paint. And because Karl Anthony Towns is not that kind of defender, whereas Hartenstein moved his feet better and was just a better help defender up top and you know, much more resistant at the rim than I think people thought. Well, when they first acquired him. So, no, I've obviously turned the page. We had some fun. You know, I miss DiVincenzo. I miss Hartenstein. Yeah. It's a totally different team. This team is looking more and more connected by the night, which is awesome. The other thing, they've got time. I'm not talking about the Cavaliers and the Celtics necessarily. Yeah. Cavaliers is 16-1. Boston, I think, has three losses. But you get now to the teams behind the Knicks, and this is more bigger picture stuff. But because nobody's going to run away with stuff behind them, like you have a very jumbled, whether it's the Magic, whether it's the Heat, whether it's the Pistons, whether it's the Hawks, the Nets. I mean, now the Pacers, the Bucks are a disaster. The Sixers are worse.
Oh.
Nobody, they're a disgrace. Yeah. Nobody's going to run away and hide outside of the Cavaliers and Celtics among the top four spots, meaning the Knicks, even as they go through some growing pains, now four more games on the road. By the way, I think they win three out of the four.
Right.
Because Utah stinks, Charlotte stinks. They could sweep everybody.
And this is the expectation.
They very well might.
They should be winning these games.
Yeah, and as they gain that chemistry and Mitchell Robinson eventually comes back and everybody feels more empowered, most notably the new guys like Bridges, I think the Knicks are going to be the force that we thought that they would be, provided Robinson comes back.
BT and Sal on the fan. We'll continue with your calls. Tommy DeVito, the Knicks, 888-808-1019. If I had to ask you your biggest concern at this point, and again, it's a long season. We're, what, 15 games in right now for the Knicks. If I had to ask you your biggest concern with this team, is it still chemistry? Where are you at? I have my answer, but I'd be curious to get yours.
My biggest concern.
Depth.
Depth, but I know that it's going to be a See, defense, if Deuce is depth, playing, chemistry? It's different.
Okay.
I mean, it's easy to say depth when McBride's not out there, but McBride is such an amazing talent and such an impact. I know that that's going to change soon.
Deuce
so he'll
campaign
be
off the bench, dude.
No, I know.
That's a lot. You get scoring there. You get some energy.
You do. And then, as I said before, you eventually get back Mitch, and you have Carl Anthony Towns playing some four.
Yeah.
You got Josh Hart coming in with that bench mob. So the options are limited. The minutes still worry me. I mean, OG's playing 37 minutes a night. Bridges playing 39. Hart playing 37. You know, Brunson's in the mid-30s. Mm-hmm. Same with Kat. My biggest concern, I want to check one stat before I actually say it. Not that I would base this on stats. It's more what I've seen, but I want to see if my eyes are being betrayed. Yeah, they're actually a little bit better than I thought. I know he was great last night. I don't feel like Brunson's the Brunson from a year ago.
Wow.
And that's okay because you have Towns.
Yeah.
And you got to share the mail. But, I look
phenomenal
at his numbers. I know. 40% from 47% overall.
Maybe certain matchups aren't great for him, but we saw that anyway. And he'll figure out a way to battle through. And now you're right. Like, even if he doesn't, they have insurance to have many scoring options outside of him where he could be more of a point guard now. He doesn't want to be just a score-first point guard. You know what my biggest concern is?
Something
you touched on there with the minutes. I'm not necessarily worried about the minutes, but with one player, I do worry about the minutes and a potential injury.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
OG?
No.
Oh, because he's always hurt.
Yeah,
and
I
Towns?
Know. Yes.
Yeah. He's a big man.
Because of his body.
Yeah.
Because how important he is.
Yeah, and he's been hurt the last couple of years, by the way.
And with these minutes here, I just, I'm not going to rip Tibbs because I like these guys playing a lot. And I think he is going to let the foot off the gas a little bit when they start to get healthier, specifically Achiuwa, because he's coming sooner than Mitchell Robinson. So that should help. But I don't believe you can ride Cat for 35 minutes a night in the regular season and expect him to hold up.
Well, okay, isn't that then an inherent problem with the way the Knicks are built? Because you look at the minutes leaders, and LeBron is 40. He's playing 38, 39 minutes a night. Everybody else is playing big minutes around the NBA that's a star.
But they should be able to have enough to where maybe you get 30 minutes or even give them. I'm not for these like rest day things, but hey.
Maintenance.
Protect the big boy.
I wouldn't mind that. I really wouldn't.
If anybody needs it, I think Carl Anthony Towns does. Now, again, it's not a knock on Towns. You know how much I love him. But I just want to be, I'm worried about him staying healthy because I know how important he is to this whole thing.
He's got, I mean, let's see here. I'm just looking at his game log. 46, I mean, 34, 32, 30, 34. He's been a beast.
I want to keep him around 30 myself.
I don't think 30 is realistic. There's no way he's going to only 30.
Potentially Mitch coming back?
No, I think it'd be more 32, 33.
Okay. Yeah. Under 35? He was at 34 minutes.
That's
last
doable.
Night.
That's definitely attainable.
Yeah, but I mean, you just went over some of it. Sometimes it's been more than
that. No, those were points, not minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I jumped into the points.
You were
talking minutes, and I was definitely listening. I was just reacting to some of the good games he's had.
Yeah.
Like, I'll tell you this, as much as we protest, and this started with Popovich and Duncan and Ginobili and that crew, the maintenance days, and then there was a big deal, and I understood it. And me and Tiki talked about this a lot nationally because it affected all the teams, and we were on 200 stations around the country. Like, I got it. If Santa brought tickets, say if you live in Memphis, mm-hmm. and Santa buys tickets to, or Santa brings tickets to watch the Memphis Grizzlies play the Lakers a couple of years ago. I mean, whether it's Kobe or whether it's LeBron now, I understand that that's the risk that you take when you actually spend money. I get it. So you should be aware of that. But I was very protective of the fan. I stood up for the fan there. But let's also not get this twisted. We love the big fella. We laud Patrick Patrick with the bum knees and he was a great player. A little flawed, but a great player, all-time player. Are you telling me now, and this is a question for you, Sal, are you telling me now that a warrior like Patrick Ewing with constant knee pain, he wouldn't take the occasional maintenance day?
He wouldn't want to, but I would demand.
Yeah, I would want him to.
So
right? Yeah,
exactly right. And I respect the respect for the game and the pride and all that stuff. It's a different element in today's game, and I want to protect. Now that we have that valuable big man, I want to make sure they protect him. Real quick, just on the minute stuff, I'm not going to rattle off all of them, but there have been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times already out of the 15 that Cat has played over 30 minutes. 34, a 39 in there, a 38, another 39, like another 38. They've got to keep him, to me, 32 and under minutes-wise.
Well, if you blow out some of these bad teams, that's a good starting point. You know, well, if you jump on them early, which they did last night, and that second Nets game was a little bit better than the first, obviously, down to the wire. You know, and I've had this observation before, and I love the Knicks. You know, you know that. You know, Patrick, even really Bernard King before Patrick. Yeah. I got 5 years on Sal. And I remember watching Bernard, and I went to Bernard's basketball camp. I think I told you that. And I remember him sitting down at my table with my team right after he had the knee surgery, looking at this big, nasty mid-80s zipper on his. Like, I was in awe of this guy. Yeah. Bernard King posters everywhere. Love the guy, right? So I love the Knicks. And because I love the Knicks, then I grew a real affinity for Dominique Wilkins and, you know, at the end of Dr. J and Bird and all these superstars. I had the posters, the NBA superstars. I say this because I've been an NBA guy since I was about 6 or 7, right? And Sal, if I wasn't the devout Knicks fan that I am, I honestly don't think I could watch the NBA.
Just the product
itself.
It is
gross, dude.
Yeah.
And it's not about, oh, back in the day it was tougher. I'm not even talking about that. Come on, it's evolved. It's more skill-oriented. That's fine. But the aversion to defense, the 40 to 53s combined tonight, it's a slop fest.
Yeah, not a great product overall, but this is the most I've been in NBA basketball in probably over 20 years because of the ability that the Knicks have. That's all I care about at this point. I don't care if the product is good or not.
Yeah.
I want to see the Knicks win.
Yep.
888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the fan. James is in North Arlington, New Jersey. What's up, James?
Jimmy.
Oh, hi. Thanks for calling on me. The rain is great because we definitely needed it. What do you call it? I think my take is a little bit different. I mean, I know Dable is probably going to stay, but if the Vito wins, which I hope he does, and I think he did show that he was competent last year, and I think you and a lot of people agree that he looked competent, and he didn't play him. And
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
How he's playing him to save his job? Well, I think that's more of a reason why they should get rid of him, because what does that really say about his judgment? His total,
hold on, James. They're not playing him to save his job.
Well, but some people may think that if he plays well, then that's a reason to keep the coach. And I don't think that's the case. I think, if anything, he should go no matter what. But on the other hand, if he does play well, DeVito, I think it shows more that he should have played sooner. I mean, look at Pittsburgh. Look at Pittsburgh. Look at the coach of Pittsburgh. He's playing Wilson, and a lot of people didn't want him to play Wilson, but he knew he was the best chance to win. And now look at Pittsburgh. I mean, who knows how far they're
going to go. But James, hold on 1 second here. I got you with the Russell Wilson, and I thought, I don't want to put words in anybody else's mouth. I thought Russell Wilson was finished, man. I thought he was done. And we were obviously wrong, but Mike Tomlin going to Russell Wilson, who's a Super Bowl champion and should have won another one if it wasn't for a horrendous play call, the 1 yard line. You got to compare him to Drew Locke. I mean, who should be playing?
Well, I think DeVito should have played from the beginning. And I know some people on the fan that you're laughing at some of the hosts that wanted to play DeVito, but I think that we knew, unfortunately, the guy seems like a great guy, but Jones just couldn't play. And the fact that they kept playing him, and now where the season has ended, and they're putting came in, unless the owner wanted to play. And I guess that's what you have to find out.
No,
did the owner want him to play?
Who do you talk about? You talk about Jones?
James.
Okay, couple things because we're a little all over the place with that one. And thank you for the call.
Thanks, James.
Daniel Jones coming into the season, regardless of how much you like him or how much we've seen in 5 years or don't like him, whatever, he was their best chance to. He was their best quarterback on the roster. He was their best chance to win games this year. He did not get the job done. Daniel Jones has regressed in the last two seasons. Matter of fact, BT, and we've done this, but let's just do it again here to reiterate it. The Giants 2 years ago made the postseason with Daniel Jones being a largely running quarterback, but still they made the postseason with him. Since then, the goal was to take the next step and throw the football and add the element of the passing attack to his game. He got hurt. When he was healthy, he didn't do it, but he got hurt a year ago. So even if you throw that out, okay, let's reset this year. Better offensive line, better weapons around him, better running game, even without Saquon Barkley, Neighbors, you know, all the names that they have with him. And Daniel Jones has regressed from what he was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 5 years. Like, and it took them 10 games to definitively say he's not it anymore. But that doesn't mean that he shouldn't have started the year as their quarterback, especially when you're looking at it in comparison to Locke and DeVito.
Hey, 100% he should have started the season. I do think the contract complicated when you yank him, but that's just common sense. That's business. I mean, that's a big commitment. Granted, after this year, not nearly as punitive. We know how it was structured, but I mean, that's the way of the world. News for everybody. You don't think that they knew sitting around saying, God, why? When they watched the film from Germany, you don't think Dable and the staff is sitting there saying, amongst themselves, pull the trigger like on the flea flicker.
Yeah.
Got two guys wide open. One's a 30-yard gain, one's a four. Throw the ball, Danny.
Right.
Like we devised the proper, even though it was kind of odd on, that was third down, right? Third and two, I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Third and short.
Third and short.
Yeah.
You know,
People ripped the play, but it was the right play. He just didn't execute.
Yeah. I prefer when you get to the point where it's like third or fourth and one and you say, oh, hey, we have the kind of horses up front. We're going to run your throat. But so they've got to get creative. I understand that because they don't have the horses. But you watch that on film, but that's not the only time. He is just reluctant to throw the football. They know it, but they gave him the extension and they had to find their way out of it. When you get to this point of the season, you're out of it.
BT and Sal on the Fan, more your calls when we come back. I go out there myself, but I did think about, like, it just shows you the excitement now surrounding Tom and DeVito that would even make me contemplate, like, hey, this is going to be the place to be Sunday. I know the Giants are bad. I get it. I get their 2-8, but there's going to be real excitement on seeing what Tommy DeVito can do. We saw the show last year. It was fun. Even though the offense didn't score a ton of points, it was fun watching him play football. Tommy DeVito is going to make football fun again here for Giant fans, and I hope it results in some wins. I know there are some who believe in tanking, but this is going to be a fun game to watch Sunday.
It is, and I can't wait, and I don't think there's a more passionate topic that any sports fan can discuss than, and not just I'm talking about Jets or the Giants or DeVito specifically, but the quarterback spot. I mean, think about the intense, you know, takes that everybody has on which quarterback to draft and which quarterback not to draft. And then, you know, if you have a starter who's okay and then you have a backup who's interesting, all right, let's go to the backup. This is, I mean, this happened when we were kids. I remember hearing about this.
Right.
This is nothing new. So now you throw in the fact that Giant fans are borderline apathetic and have already checked out, and now they get, you know, a little zap to wake them up a little bit because Tommy DeVito is going to get a chance to play, and hopefully he plays well, and it doesn't hurt that he's from here. But even if you strip that down, he was fairly competent a year ago.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. There was the apathy and like, oh, God, they lose to the Panthers. I can't take it. I can't watch this team anymore. I heard some people call Boomer and Gio earlier with it, you know, saying the same thing. One guy's like, ah, I'm not going to watch. Or a guy called us, saying, I'll have it on the background. That I don't understand. Like, I get the point that you're frustrated and disappointed and embarrassed by the way the season's gone. And if it were Daniel Jones or Drew Lock, then I'd understand it even more. Oof. But with DeVito, this is a storyline to watch in sports, and there's an exciting element to it. Now, how will the results fare? I mean, I don't know. They're underdogs, I'm assuming, in the box. No, I have not looked at the
line
yet.
I didn't check the spread. I'll check it now. They've got to be.
Pop,
I'm going to guess 3.5.
I'm going to see if I can pull it up real quick.
I'm going to say 3.5. I'll pull it up here.
You would think the Bucs are favored by 3.5?
That's what I'm going to guess. That's my first guess. Maybe slightly less.
I got it here.
What is it? 5, 6?
6.
Wow, that much.
Tampa Bay -6.
Take the G, man. Let's go DeVito.
You really would have sold for
what is some money?
I mean, that is a pretty high spread because I would have been with you like 3.5, maybe 4, 6 points. It just shows
pretty
you.
Big.
Bucks could score. Giants, you know, haven't been able to score.
Yeah, and Evans is coming back. Evans, he's healthy now. So,
and then I saw yesterday, too, the Giants plan to run. Did you see this? Mm. Giants plan a run-heavy attack or something. That's going to be their game plan, to run the football against the Bucs. Like, if that were really the case, why would they let that out now?
Yeah, that's odd.
I'm not sure I'm buying that. I'm not saying that the report wasn't accurate, but I'm thinking to myself as I'm seeing these headlines, like, okay, yeah, sure, it makes sense. It might have been like on a fantasy thing. I was checking something that says, oh, Giants plan to rely on the run against the Bucs on Sunday. I'm like, okay, that's great, but why would they release their game plan on Tuesday or Wednesday for what they're going to do on Sunday?
Yeah, and do they think that the Bucs would take it? Like, do you think Tampa's like, oh wow, they are. They're going to actually run. I mean, come on, man. I mean, the way that you process that from Tampa's perspective is, all right, fantastic. We'll be ready for anything that you do.
Yeah, let's see. I mean, come on. By the way, the Giants should always be trying to run the football first. Every team should be, as far as I'm concerned. 888-808-1019. Chris is in Howell. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I'm taking my son to the game this Sunday, and before they made the quarterback change, I was like, oh, my God, it's going to be the most boring day ever. Now that DeVito's in, dude, my son's going to be excited. I'll be excited. It's at least some juice to the season, you know?
Now it's going
to
be the most exciting day ever, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, they're still going to lose. They're still going to suck, but at least we'll have fun, you know?
Chris, how old is he, Chris?
He's 12.
First game, or he's been to other games?
He went to one game last year against Washington.
But think about it, and Chris, have fun.
Have a great
time,
man.
Yeah, think about what he just said, BT. We're going to lose again. We know we suck, but at least it's going to be fun. And that was kind of our point to start the show. Like, it needs to be fun. Sports fans, there's so much negative stuff going around and misery, and I get it. Like, we all are engulfed in it as a sports fan, even with the positive examples that you referenced before, the Yankees getting to a World Series, the Mets getting to an NLCS, yet a lot of times throughout the course of the year, we're nitpicking and saying they aren't good enough here, it's not realistic, Judge is struggling in the postseason, whatever it may be. And with the Giants, like, obviously the Jets and Giants have been awful, but this is something that's fun as a fan, so don't worry about tanking or having a different draft pick. This, to me, would be about in isolation over the course of the next few weeks. And I look at the Thanksgiving game specifically. That's going to be on national TV. It's Thanksgiving. Even if you don't want to watch, somebody at your family's party or your friend's house or whatever you are watching Thanksgiving is going to want to watch the football. It's the Giants and Cowboys, that heated, nasty rivalry. The Cowboys are vulnerable. They suck this year. There's no reason why the Giants can't win that game. Like, I want to root for wins and have some fun as opposed to rooting for losses and have a better draft pick.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if Locke is playing this game or Jones is playing this game, then I can understand why Giant fans would not want to win this game. And by the way, I don't think that every Giant fan wants to win this game. I think more do now that DeVito's playing. You know, and the topic of negativity, it's probably a greater conversation for a different day. And it pertains to everything other than sport, not just sports. It pertains to everything, including sports here. That's just the way of the world. And I don't know the exact origin of it, like when leaning on the negative became the goal.
That's what sells.
People
frustrated want to vent. I mean, look, we do have to remember, and I think a lot of people get caught up in this, and I know you and I take sports very seriously. Like, we loved it. Like, that's our thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you got to remember, it's still sports. Like, at the end of the day, all we're doing is talking sports. It's never personal with Daniel Jones or Aaron Judge or whoever it may be that's going to be in the line of fire, or Aaron Rodgers. Like, at least for me, it's not. And I don't think it should be from sports. I know sometimes people say nasty things online or you yell things at a game, which is just way over the line. But
yeah, sure.
We criticize these teams just because we want an escape from the generally negative reality or harsh realities that life may bring. So we're trying to watch sports and have fun with that. And one way of having fun in some ways is venting your frustration with said team.
The sad thing is it's cathartic. I mean, and it's one of the only things that we have.
Right.
There's two things you can do as a fan. And again, provided it's not below board in terms of, you know, certain language around kids or anything that borders on criminal activity, but you can do one of two things. Well, really three. Don't go to the game. Don't watch the game. But what fun is that? I mean, you're really just depriving yourself, which sucks. That's a miserable way to be. Or, you know, react with venom when things go awry. Now, that venom begins to straddle the fence of dangerous for some when it's a prolonged stretch of ineffectiveness, which pertains to the Jets and the Giants. But, you know, at least for this small window here with Tommy DeVito, as I set this out to start the show, it's either a little blip on the Giants' radar or it's the start of something that's going to be magnificent. What the answer is, I don't know, But I'm here for the ride. No, and I hope he does awesome. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal on The Fan. Hey, we got Jonathan Casillas coming up next. Look forward to that. He is awesome. He joins us every week with BT and Sal. And we'll also do the baseball card World Series game.
BT and Sal back on The Fan. We'll get back to your calls in just a little bit. Right now, we're joined by Jonathan Casillas. Of course, you could hear him on the pre and post game for the New York Giants right here on The Fan before and after every single game. Most games have not gone the way we would have hoped, Jonathan. But there's a new sheriff in town, Tommy DeVito, taking over starting Sunday. What do you think of the call to switch to DeVito?
I'm happy, man. You can see me right now. I got a big smile on my face. You know, I thought, you know, the way Daniel was playing this year, you know, I think the Giants had to figure out something to do, whether he played better, which clearly, you know, he really didn't. Or they had to make a change at quarterback, which they did. You know, I didn't know if it was going to be Tommy or Drew Locke, but they went with Tommy. You know, Tommy provided the spark last year, and that's the guy they're going with. So I'm excited. My Jersey boy is going and, you know, playing again. And, you know, there's a lot of excitement in Giants Nation right now. So, you know, let's see what happens on Sunday.
Yeah, I think we're all a little bit extra juiced up because it's DeVito and not Locke here. I mean, if Locke's playing, you have the game on in the background, whatever, and what's the score, you do what you do, maybe put up the Christmas tree. DeVito's playing, you kind of locked in every snap, and we're all happy it's DeVito, but I am curious, why did they bypass Locke, and not just for the spark that you described? Is it deeper than that?
I'm not sure. I was quite, because I figured they had to do something, and I thought that that's what they were going to do. They brought him in, they paid him, you know, and the whole season, not even whole season, the whole offseason, guys, I was like, why is no one talking about Tommy DeVito? Like, he didn't play in, you know, 8-9 games last year and played pretty well. You know, he was sacked 37 times in those games, guys. And he still ended up going 3-3, 8 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He still played well. But the whole offseason, fellas, no one was talking about him playing quarterback for the Giants. They were trying to figure out who else was going to come in to be Daniel Jones' backup, whether it was the draft, whether they're going to draft a quarterback. Mm-hmm. But no one talked about Tommy. And I'm sitting here like, why so much disrespect to Tommy DeVito? Like, he didn't prove himself. Because at least last year, he proved himself to be an adequate backup in the NFL. Okay, cool. You have that. I think that was a checkbox. Mm-hmm. But they went out and got Drew Locke, maybe a little more insurance. I really don't know why they skipped over Drew Locke. I'm sitting here scratching, you know, my head myself, but look, I'm looking forward to my boy Tommy playing, so don't blow that for me, okay, fellas?
Yeah, so are we. By the way, you know, honestly, we were just taking our cues from the Giants. I don't know that we forgot about Tommy. It seemed like they forgot about Tommy DeVito. So in our minds, we're like, all right, I guess I don't really think Tommy DeVito's very viable.
Yeah, but then he gets to play. You know, when they make the quarterback change, he gets to play. So it's like, is that, you know, that couldn't be the truth if he's playing right now, you know? So I don't really know, but, you know, it's a lot of, you know, for me, it's a lot of like, all right, what do we do next? You know, as the Giants, what do the Giants do next? And, you know, I said before they had to make a change. I didn't know where that was going to be at. I figured it'd probably be at quarterback. It wasn't the change I thought, but changing the quarterback is not going to change the play of the entire team. Like, this team has to play better. You know, the defense can't keep giving up 150 yards rushing. You know, the Giants have to be able to run the ball efficiently. The Giants have to convert on third down. The Giants have to be efficient in the red zone. Something they haven't done. Tommy DeVito, okay, maybe that gives them a better chance. But if they don't improve in those areas, it don't matter who's playing quarterback.
Were you surprised, Jonathan, at so far the reaction? It's not everybody, but Dexter Lawrence was front and center, you know, as far as guys basically backing Daniel Jones and kind of feeling badly for him as opposed to being maybe more excited for DeVito. Not saying they aren't, but it just does feel like the sentiment from that locker room is more disappointed that the Giants are moving on from Jones.
I think it's a lot of frustration in the locker room, you know, when you're 2-8 and, you know, the projection for the team, you know, for themselves. Like, bro, every year I played on any team, I thought we were going to be good. Even when I was with Tampa, when we were 0-7, fellas, I literally thought we were going to be good. Oh, we got a possibility to win a division. Like, so you're disappointed. When you're disappointed, like, everything kind of bothers you, especially when you're losing. You know, like, if one of your teammates gets traded or gets benched, it's like, oh, you know, it is what it is. You got to keep moving on. But when you're losing, like, you feel everything. You feel every loss. You feel every injury. You feel every bad play you make. you know, for example, you lose a game, right, and you don't play well, you're going to feel terrible. You win a game and you don't play well, you're not going to feel that terrible. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's just how it works. You know, so I think you're just hearing the frustration of the team being 2-8, and, you know, not to say they're picking on every little move, because that's a huge move, but, you know, Dexter has a great relationship with Daniel, and I don't know how much football Daniel's going to play after today, after this, you know, this benching. How much football is he actually going to play? And that might be a realistic thought for Dexter, and that probably broke his heart, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the answer's none. I mean, that's what it appears to be. Certainly not for the right. Giants. I mean, I don't think he's going to take another snap. There's a lot of things at play. We talked about it, the injury guarantee, et cetera. It's Jonathan Casillas, BT and Sal, of course, former Giant, part of the Giants broadcast team as well here on the Fan, home of the Giants. Now, yeah, when you – it's one thing to lose your job. Okay, I got that. To be the fourth quarterback, it's just disrespectful. And maybe there's – I don't know if there was a better solution. I don't pretend to know, but – to me, the morale of the team, big picture, and maybe the lack of trust in the franchise moving forward, that may have been compromised a little bit here because of the way they treated Jones. Not just losing his job, but hey, you basically throw him in the trash. He's fourth. He's behind Tim Boyle.
Yeah, I'm like I said, I don't understand the shift in the movement of the quarterback position. You know, I would be upset if I was second string and the starter, he got benched, and the guy from behind me moved up in front of me, I would definitely be upset. And if I was a starter, I got moved to fourth string, like, I would be confused as well. But you know what solves all of that, fellas? If they win games. That solves all of that. All of the extra stuff that people are picking, you know, like, when you're losing, you got to answer questions. And when you continuously lose, you're literally not answering questions, or you're just developing more questions. But when you start winning, you start answering questions. So there's a lot of questions being asked, and the only way out, the only answers to all of the questions is winning, right? Why is Mike Tomlin such a great coach? Why is his culture so good? Because he wins. Every year he wins. That's why the culture is good. Why does Andy Reid and the Chiefs have a great culture? Because he wins. He won when he was with Philly. Like, you have great cultures and winning cultures because you win. And as of right now, the Giants, the last year and a half, haven't won. So I'm not saying the culture is bad, but for you to have good culture, for you to have to groom that, you have to be a consistently winning organization. That's the only way to do it.
It just feels different for me, Jonathan, like the Giants actually have a chance to win some games. I don't know if that's blind faith, if it's just excitement with the new energy that DeVito brings. Do you think it's realistic to now expect the Giants to win more games, whether it's Sunday versus the Bucs, Thursday versus the Cowboys? Where are you at with DeVito actually winning games here with the Giants?
Well, like I said earlier, they were in a lot of games. You know, they lost, what, they're 1-5 in close games, or 0-5 or whatever, 0-6 or whatever the number is. They played a lot of close games. But the things I pointed out earlier, you know, last in red zone, last in scoring, or second last in scoring, like, you have to be able to score points. You know, and if this offense doesn't score points, it doesn't matter what Tommy DeVito looks like between the 20s. If the Giants can't score points, if they can't convert in red zone, then mind you, not only just the quarterback play, the Giants missed a lot of field goals this year. You know, they threw a lot of interceptions. They fumbled on the half-inch line, you know, early in the year. You know, like, a lot of reasons, and it wasn't just the quarterback, a lot of reasons why the Giants didn't have points. So if they can figure out the other reasons besides the quarterback, I do expect them to win games. But they have to be able to figure out those things. The Giants can't walk off. Like, if your defense is so good, you can't give up 150 rushing yards a game.
Yep.
Like, and for me, I'm super critical with them because I know they're better than that. I know they have one of the best defensive players in the league. I love Bobby Okereke. I think he's one of the better middle linebackers in the league. I like Micah McFadden. Their secondary is young. Everybody knew that. They're going to have some mistakes. Yeah. But not giving up 150 yards a game. That's on the front seven. You know, so for me, I always hold them to a higher standard because I think they're a very capable group. They can't play the way they've been playing, though. The Giants are going to struggle. Tampa Bay's going to score points. No matter who's playing wide receiver for them, they're going to score points. Baker Mayfield is throwing that ball all around the field, no matter who's playing receiver. So the Giants, certain teams you have to score some points with, which Tampa, and then certain teams you got to be able to hold them to a certain number. And that relies on your defense. And the Giants have not been able to do that. Only twice they did it, and that's the two wins that they had. But every other game, they never play complimentary football.
That's true. It's been very, very tough to do that. So Jonathan, names are going to change here. Obviously, there will be changes on the roster, and it's too early for us to start throwing college names at you. I'm not going to do that in terms of maybe draft prospects, but I want to float a concept by you. I said this earlier. Let's say the Giants win a couple of games here. They're not picking first, second, or third. They don't have direct access to a quarterback. And even maybe to get somebody that they like but don't love, they'd have to move up a slot or two, and they might not be open to that. Would you, given the dearth of talent overall on the roster, look to maybe trade back from where they are, 5, 6, 7, and accrue some more draft equity and build up the roster, or just take the swing for the quarterback that you don't know is the guy?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, recently there's been some really good quarterback play coming out of the draft, you know, as rookies, C.J. Stroud, Jaden Daniels this year. But then you have Caleb Williams who, you know, he started out rough and then he got hot and then he's kind of like, you know, going back down again. It's so unpredictable when you get a rookie quarterback, no matter how good they were, no matter what the scouts say. You got Bryce Young, you know, he was benched, you know, I think it was second year, and now he's playing again because of injury. But, like, you never know. So, for me, I would love for the Giants to draft a quarterback. I just don't know if that's the right move. You know, like, a proven commodity is always great, but then they're older. And then you have a proven commodity on the team on the other side of Jersey. You know, Aaron Rodgers, the most proven commodity at the quarterback position, and he's struggling right now, you know, with this team. So, there's no recipe. Everything's a gamble, you know. And then when you do it, is it the right choice? You can't make that decision if it's the right choice until 2-3 years down the road, you know. So it's because, look, guys, I'm emotional. As you see, every time I talk, I get
I love you. So way.
I get going. I get excited. You know, I cannot be a GM, guys. I can't make those decisions. Those decisions, I'm too emotional to make decisions like that. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, Joe Shane has a very difficult job to do. Brian Daboll has a very difficult job to do. The easiest job to do is the guys playing football. Like, seriously, because it's what they've been trained to do, and when they come down to making decisions, you know, their job's not on the line every single time to make a decision. You know, I feel like in the NFL, especially how the turnover rate is, especially for the New York Giants, it's like everything is heightened, especially when you lose. So for me, it's like, I'm going to stay away from making that damn decision.
Yeah, I was going to say real quick, just to follow, I'm sorry, Jonathan, go ahead, my fault, go ahead.
No, go.
So I thought they showed their hand a year ago on Hard Knocks. I just wanted to kind of tie up that question about the concept of trading down and getting more assets and getting better, you know, as a roster or taking that shot at the quarterback. So if they showed us their hand last year and they were willing to trade up and get a quarterback, don't you think that their mission is to do it this year if they were going to do it last year?
I see what you're saying. Possibly. But like I said, you can either go in the draft and get your quarterback or get you a free agent, veteran quarterback who's proven himself. I don't know what that list looks like this year, but neither one of those are proven commodities. But, you know, if you look up a few years ago, Tom Brady went over to Tampa, right? They won a Super Bowl. And then Matthew Stafford goes over to the Rams. They won a Super Bowl. So it's like that has proven itself. Jaden Daniels has proven that. You get a good rookie quarterback, you can do some good things. CJ Stroud proved that too. So you have a lot of bad examples for both, and you have a lot of good examples for both.
That's true.
I don't know what they're going to do. And you know Shane and Daboll, they're not going to tell us anything. We're not going to know if they're going to draft a quarterback until they draft a quarterback. Like, and that's the situation that we've been in for the last 2.5 years with this staff. You know, so for me, I'm going to keep it close. I'm going to see what they're doing. I'm going to keep cheering for the Giants. And, man, I got my Tommy DeVito shirt, guys. I'm excited. Listen, I'm going to be walking in that thing, doing my little Italian gesture that he does. You know, the little hand thing.
Were you a little chicken colored hero?
Guys, yeah. I'm excited because you guys been to MetLife this year for the Giants game. Like, it's been dead. Like, and the fans, they've been coming to support, you know, the team and then also the 100-year – you know, anniversary with all of the old players being in town, and then the games start off so hot and they die. And like by the second quarter, it's dead. Third quarter, the half the stadium's empty because the Giants are losing. I'm looking forward to that not being a reality anymore.
That's awesome. There you go.
I'm excited for it. Hey, hopefully they get a couple wins here. JC, as always, we appreciate your time. Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving, buddy.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving, fellas. Appreciate you.
All right. There we go. What? No next week for JC?
What's today, Thursday?
Yeah, I mean,
if he comes on Thursday, he's going to be here, so I figured I'd get it out of the way in case.
Maybe a little Wednesday. Anyway, everybody should be enjoying some Giants football Sunday, at least to start. Can't promise what's going to happen in the game,
yep. But
the energy, excitement going into watching DeVito, it may peter out quickly, who knows, but I'm going to enjoy it going in at the very least.
A little much-needed juice, no doubt about that.
Yeah, there we go. All right, we'll come back, reset, hit you with the crown topic of the day, continue with your calls as well.